You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The global economic crisis is hitting Venezuela. The government of Hugo Chavez is facing falling oil prices and problems in the water and electricity sectors. But despite this, Chavez is pushing ahead with plans to redistribute wealth and power to the country's poor majority, according to Federico Fuentes. Fuentes is with the Centro Internacional Miranda, an independent agency funded by the Ministry of Popular Power for University Education in Caracas. Together with Marta Harnecker, he's researching the sweeping social changes taking place in Venezuela today. Fuentes writes and edits the Bolivia Rising blog and is a member of the Caracas Bureau of the Australian Green Left Weekly. And he joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Fred.
Hello, and thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Oh, talking. It's our pleasure. Now, I want to ask you, first of all, about the communal councils that have been created. How do they operate?
Well, the communal councils are one of the most important attempts by the Venezuelan government and people to make a reality Chavez's idea that the only way to get rid of poverty is by giving power to the people. So the communal councils emerged as an organic development of many of the health committees, education committees, housing committees that had emerged throughout all of the poor neighborhoods in Caracas and Venezuela during the 80s and 90s. And the idea today is that these different local committees are to come together with the community as a whole in communal councils that are roughly based on some 200 to 400 families in urban areas or 20 to 50 families in rural areas. And the communities will get together to discuss what are the problems they feel their communities facing, which of those are the most priority experiences of communities that have been able to tackle our housing problems that for decades have never been able to be dealt with in their communities simply by drawing on the expertise that already existed in the communities.
What kind of housing problems?
Well, I mean, Venezuela has a very large shortfall in housing, and in those that do have housing tends to be a lot of informal housing. This is after decades of sort of neglect of the majority who have been excluded from the political system. But for instance, through some of the funds that the communal councils have gained, they've been able to initiate projects. For instance, one experience that I can talk about in the state of Lara, in the municipality of Carora, where each of the communal councils got funding to build 7 houses. But by the community coming together, not just discussing well who most needed the housing, but also discussing that perhaps the design that had been given to them by the architect was not the best, and that rather than perhaps having 2 bathrooms in each house, the family could go along with 1 bathroom, and the money saved from that, and the money saved by using by relying on voluntary labour from the community, who of course were willing to participate in building for some of them their own houses, meant that with the funding for 7 houses, they ended up building in some cases 12, even 15 houses. And of course this would never happen with a private contractor whose interest is never geared towards supplying the needs of society, but really just to make the most money that they can.
No, it usually goes the other way, that the projects go over budget, not under budget.
Exactly. And that's what many of the people have started to learn as well. They've started to realise the reality of how much these projects really cost and begun to question, well, where did a lot of this money go over the last few decades when we supposedly had money pouring in everywhere, and we're seeing now that the community relying on its own resources can produce not just more, but a lot better in many cases as well, housing.
And what other kinds of issues do they deal with, the communal councils?
The communal councils deal with a variety of issues. Of course, the priority is discussed by the communities themselves in assemblies, community assemblies that are held very regularly. The idea is that at least a minimum 1 delegate per family will attend, although it's open to all of the all family members to participate in. But they deal with issues to do with housing, roadworks, maybe a road that the potholes are very, very big and make it difficult to travel along, issues to do with repairs of local schools. But they also as well deal with questions of culture, providing sports for young children, and particularly as a way of, I guess, encourage them to move away from crime or drugs where that may be a problem in the community. And one of the most, for me, interesting but perhaps hidden aspects of the communal councils is this idea of recapturing the tradition and culture of the community. So one of the first tasks that the communal council takes takes on, is going around and through interviews and research, writing up a history of how their community first emerged, why it emerged there, and how it's developed since that time, which for me was sort of particularly fascinating to see that importance. And everyone could tell you, well, our community started so long ago when such a family moved here, and it's gone on to become what it is today.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a very important aspect of the revolution, which is not just dealing with the social aspects, but also the cultural aspects as well.
And kind of, I guess, developing an identity and a self-respect for a community that would otherwise have been seen as maybe like a slum area.
Absolutely. There's this real sense of pride amongst the people of what they've been able to achieve, but also that understanding of where they come from and have discovered things that many of them never knew about their communities and also how that fits into the history of their country as well, including going back to the indigenous resistance against colonialism.
To what extent are they funded? You mentioned that they got funding for housing.
The way that the funding occurs is there is a national fund that has been set up by the presidential palace. It has a designated budget, and depending on the projects that are presented by the communal councils to a body which is called, which is sort of acts as a way of ensuring that these projects have been democratically discussed in their communities and debated, funding can come through that. Funding can also come through other sources, for instance from local mayor's offices, from ministries. The issue that I mentioned, the housing, was money that came directly from the housing ministry to deal with that issue. But importantly, there's a growing, I suppose, importance played on the issue of the self-funding as well of the community. So that is that rather than just doing projects that tackle concrete issues like housing, but also think about socioeconomic projects, cooperatives that could be formed that can deal with questions of unemployment, but it can also begin to generate some of that wealth that can be redistributed into the community for other projects.
And it's so different when people do that rather than just getting money that's handed down to them. There's more of a sense of pride and ownership and, self-respect from the community once they come up with their own ideas for how to continue to self-fund.
Absolutely. They start to really see their role in putting it together and start to see the ways that how the human capital is so much more important than the sort of the financial capital that they may receive for their projects.
Now, there are also communes, and they're different from the communal councils. What is the difference there?
Yeah, the communes essentially, just as the communal councils emerged out of all of these very small local committees, the communes emerged out of this idea or this realization of many of the communal councils that while they were able to tackle some small-scale projects, in some cases there was projects that dealt with more than just one communal council. For instance, issues like water. These are usually things that will affect more than just a community of 200 to 400 families. So the idea is trying to draw on larger communities that feel and have a common identity, have a common history, a tradition, feel like they themselves are a community, bring together those organised communal councils in that area, and if there's an area where communal councils don't exist, help to establish communal council in that area to tackle problems on a more larger scale for that community. This is a very new process that's occurring. There is roughly about 157 communes currently in formation. None of them have fully been established. There is a certain process where there's an important place on ensuring that all of the community is aware of the attempt to create a commune before going to an elections, because it's obviously very easy to just get one or two people who will self-declare themselves a commune or a communal council. But the idea is that all of the promoters of these projects, the first task they have to do is to carry out a census of their community to say who is there, why they're there, what are their problems, and in that process let them know that there will be a community assembly coming up where they are open to come and participate and be part of the process to be elected in the communes.
And then how would the communes, when they are instituted, be different from a more traditional kind of municipal council that collects taxes from local residents and provides services?
I think that a fundamental aspect in which way it will be different is rather than a representative democracy, where it's just sort of you elect a councillor and then that councillor is sort of entrusted to do that job for them. The idea of the communal council is much more a direct democracy. There is a constant need to go back to the communities where the projects emerge from the communities themselves. And really those that are elected, whether it be in the communal council or in the communes, act as executors of something already discussed by the community, or more than people who execute it, are people who actually oversee how it is occurring and are constantly can be recalled back to it. And I think so what we're seeing is through this process is also the transfer of some of the some of the services that previously were done by local councils that previously were contracted out to private contractors to do, and here it's a reliance directly on the community to begin to tackle some of these services that the traditional structures are used to do before.
And is there a resistance from the traditional structures?
There's, I think, mixed reactions. Some of the most interesting and best examples of how this popular power has been developing is where they've been able to work very closely with a local mayor or local officials. But then certainly when you give power to someone, it means you're taking it away from someone else. And many realise that losing that power, losing that authority, losing in some cases the economic interests that they may have built through their term in the local mayor's office or in the governor's, means that they have encountered some resistance on that level. And that's a resistance that not only comes from opposition forces, because of course there are opposition mayors and governors in the country, but also from some who say that they are part of the revolutionary process, but perhaps have a different vision from how the organised communities are viewing their role in this revolutionary process.
Now, you wrote recently that peasant militias have been formed. Why is that?
The situation in the countryside is a very dangerous situation and very delicate situation, both for the farmers and also for the government. One example of that is that over the last 10 years, in the government's attempt to carry out land redistribution and to allow the idle land to be handed over to farmers who don't have land to be able to work, or people from the urban areas to move out. In that attempt to do that, it is estimated, well, there's